It's frustrating if you keep trying to stop drinking, but you're not succeeding. We've discussed the brain changes that make it more difficult in a few recent episodes, but there are other factors that determine whether someone gets sober or not, too. In this episode, we'll discuss why there are differences in how people handle the same life circumstances and stressors, and what determines whether you will be resilient in the face of stress and hardship or not. You'll also learn about epigenetic changes that make it more difficult to be resilient, and how your family, friends, and support system plays a role. And before we dig in, I'd like to thank my sponsors who made this episode possible. Are you tired of your digestive system feeling like a circus act gone wrong? Introducing Ritual's 3-in-1 gut superhero, Symbiotic Plus. A probiotic, prebiotic, and postbiotic all rolled into one. And with 25% off with the code POWER, there's no better time to check out Ritual. Let's break it down. Probiotics are like the cool kids at the gut party, keeping everything in check and making sure the good vibes are flowing. Prebiotics are their wingmen, fueling the party with all the right snacks to keep the good bacteria thriving. And postbiotics, well, they're like the cleanup crew, sweeping away the mess and leaving your gut feeling fresh and fabulous. So say goodbye to the gut drama, and remember, there's no more shame in your gut game. Symbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/power. Tossing and turning all night like a salad? It's time to put those sleepless nights to bed for good. Enter Tenacy, my sleep saviors, and they have science to back up their sleep, anxiety, and pain-relieving powers. Back in 2016, they invested a $2.5 million grant to Middle Tennessee State University to study the hemp plant. Turns out their special patent-pending CBD-CBDA formula is twice as effective as CBD alone and can be more effective than over-the-counter ibuprofen, acetaminophen, and aspirin. So if you're tired of tossing and turning like a rotisserie chicken, then Tenacity's got your back with their range of great products from tinctures to gummies to lotions. Tenacity is my go-to when I can't sleep or I have way too much anxiety. I'm so glad that I discovered them. So go to Tenacity.com and use the code POWER to get 25% off your order. That's Tenacity.com, T-A-N-A-S-I, to get 25% off your first order with the promo code POWER. Sober Powered is sponsored by BetterHelp. I was a stress drinker, and I thought, if only I didn't have so much stress, I wouldn't have to drink this much. But do you know why I had all this stress? Because I didn't have the skills to take stressors off my plate, so they built up and wore me down. Some stressors are big and others are small, but carrying around 25 minor annoyances is going to have an impact on you. Plus, did you know that alcohol messes with our stress response system and decreases our ability to handle stress? It makes small things seem like a much bigger deal. Learning how to manage stress and take things off my plate has changed my life. I'm calm, I'm less reactive, and I believe that I can handle whatever comes my way. I feel proud of the way that I handle things now. You can get there too. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/sober to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/sober. The other night, my husband had an unexpected stressor, and you know what he did? He decided to go on a run. It was a simple choice, but running helped him cope with his stress instead of trying to stuff it and ignore it or drown it with alcohol, food, or drugs. We get confused and we think that because we've had a lot of bad things happen to us, that it makes us resilient. We call ourselves strong, but resilience is about how you handle the things that happen to you, not just having a bunch of things happen to you. And I'm saying this as someone who used to call myself strong all the time. I had a lot of bad things happen to me in my life, but I didn't deal with any of them until I got sober. Before that, I'd use self-destructive coping mechanisms to attempt to soothe myself, but really that just made the problem worse. Resilience is the dealing with it. It's not just having a lot of bad things. So more specifically, resilience is defined as the ability to bend but not break, to bounce back, and to adapt well in the face of adversity, trauma, tragedy, or significant sources of stress. Drinking our butts off whenever we have a problem is not resilient. I've been sober long enough to have bad things happen to me in my sobriety, and I've even had a few similar things happen to me while I was drinking and in sobriety, so I can really compare my response and the outcome. Obviously, the way that I handle it is different now, but what I think the most important difference is how I respond when the thing happens, like my immediate response. I don't flip out, start feeling sorry for myself, or become intense. I stay calm, problem solve, and immediately start thinking about the future and how I'm going to handle this. What keeps coming up for me in my research on resilience is the role of social support. Social support can help us feel like we're loved, respected, and cared for by others, and that people can give us advice or just listen to us vent. A 2011 study on deployed veterans looked at three groups: a control group with low combat exposure and low PTSD symptoms, a PTSD group with high combat exposure and high PTSD symptoms, and a resilient group with high combat exposure and low PTSD symptoms. The resilient group was more likely to be in a relationship, had greater perceptions of purpose and control, more family support, and felt like their family understood them more. The resilient group also had less psychosocial issues, which are things like depression and anxiety. So mental health conditions can make us less resilient, which is out of our control. But all that means is we have to work a little bit harder at shifting our perspective. And look, if you have PTSD, I am not saying that it is because you suck. I have also struggled with PTSD, and I don't think it's because I suck. So I just want that to be clear. So this is an example of functional support, where we feel like our support system understands us. And this is more strongly related to resilience than the amount of people in your support system or how many tasks they can do for you or meals they can cook for you. Being understood is important. And this is always my barrier to reaching out to others. I make an assessment that they will not understand. They might be reactive, they might make it all about themselves, or they just won't be able to be there for me in the way that I need. These feelings make me isolate and keep things to myself, which makes us less resilient. And this is why getting support in sobriety is so good, because you find a support system where you truly feel understood. It's a bunch of people that think and behave the exact same way you do. Resilience begins in childhood. So again, out of our control. But it comes from an environment and caregiving conditions that are loving, emotionally responsible, consistent, and reliable. These environments also help us develop skills like the ability to regulate emotions, self-soothe, problem solve when we're stressed, form secure attachments, maintain friendships and intimate relationships, and develop a realistic and positive sense of self-efficacy. And all of those skills are associated with resilience. When the home environment is highly stressful and chaotic, there are a few consequences of this for both animals and humans. We become more at risk for developing an exaggerated sympathetic nervous system, an exaggerated HPA axis, which if you listen to episode 201, that controls stress, and exaggerated emotional and behavioral responses to stressors. So these exaggerated responses can make us feel overwhelmed, and then we need something external like alcohol, to attempt to regulate ourselves. Many personality features are heritable, but your environment can impact how your personality is expressed. I've told my bullying story on other podcasts before, and I'll list two of them in the show notes for you to check out if you don't know it. But something that I always say is 8 years of being bullied made me weird. It completely changed my personality from a sweet, outgoing, friendly little girl to someone quiet and mistrusting who always expects the worst. Stress and hardship impact the way that our genes are expressed in a process called epigenetics. There's some evidence that our social environment can influence our stress response system at the genetic level, and that these changes can be long-lasting. This is something that I learned in my crisis intervention training too. We need caregivers who are reliable and consistent, or it can cause severe issues for us. The reliability and consistency of your support system beyond your caregivers also has an impact. So I learned that people would let me down, that they couldn't be trusted, they would eventually leave and not like me anymore, and this was reinforced for years and years. Now it's a core belief that I have to fight. I can't say how it impacted my genetics, but I know that stress was the reason I began drinking. There have been a lot of animal studies on epigenetics and resilience, repeatedly exposing mice to more aggressive mice for 10 days straight results in the stressed mice avoiding other mice, showing less interest in things they normally enjoy, and even becoming obese. They seem to have less pleasure in eating, but then they also eat more. Some mice become less adventurous but have no other symptoms. And when researchers take a look at their brains, they can see differences in reward recognition, which is a factor in developing an addiction. Researchers can also make mice more resilient by blocking or inducing certain epigenetic changes. Some of these changes last for their entire lifespan. Rat babies that are rarely groomed by their mothers are less adventurous and they put up less of a fight in unpleasant situations. So this would be like learned helplessness. And when they have their own babies, they're less nurturing towards their babies. The genes that these animal studies have identified also show up in humans. For example, people that commit suicide who experience childhood trauma have epigenetic modifications that people who died from suicide with normal childhoods don't have. Social support helps us learn healthy behaviors, feel understood, evaluate stressful events as less threatening, enhance our sense of self-control, increase self-esteem, and use healthy coping skills. Rejection and loneliness activate many of the same systems in the brain as physical threats and fear do. People that have low social support who experience trauma are more likely to develop PTSD, and meta-analysis studies have found this to be a consistent risk factor for the development of PTSD. And positive social support activates the parasympathetic nervous system, which inhibits these fear-based systems from activating. So I explain the nervous system in more detail in episode 149, and I'll reference that in the show notes if you forget. But the parasympathetic nervous system helps us stay calm. There's a lot of evidence that one of the most effective ways to help a child become more resilient is to focus on the well-being and parenting skills of the parent. So this comes from the parents learning how to understand and meet their own needs too, not just meet the needs of their children. As adults, we can increase our resilience by taking a look at our support system. I know it feels like you have to isolate and no one will ever understand, but you don't always have to feel like that. You can give people in your life a chance, or you can go find other communities to be a part of. As they say, no one supports you quite as hard as the stranger on the internet. And the resilience and coping skills of your community influences your coping too. This is why sober communities are so critical, because we learn from the wisdom of the group and we see examples of people using healthy coping skills and being resilient. I see this all the time in my community where people are trying to learn coping skills and they learn from other people in the group and they find a new tool that helps them not drink. I always felt like I had to keep everything to myself, that people would never understand me, and that I should be strong enough to handle it alone. But when I was finally committed to giving up drinking, that's when I really began reaching out and looking for support. Analyzing my own experience, I would say my resistance to getting support was partly because I was still trying to protect my drinking. I dabbled in support and I was a member of some online groups, but I didn't support others. I just showed up when I needed a little boost because I had a bad night, and then I'd go back on my way. When I really quit, I could let my drinking out into the light and show it to other people and be there for them. I integrated into my support systems and I started caring for others and being there for them too. Just getting more support isn't always enough, though. A 2019 review published in Addiction analyzed studies on people with alcohol use disorder and people who are high risk but never develop an addiction, and found that when drinkers get sober, the more resilient ones who stay sober are able to recruit more areas of the brain. Recruiting more parts of the brain allows you to control your impulses, regulate emotions, and reframe. This is an idea that I'm working on right now. Addiction simplifies the brain, and we need to make our brains more complex in recovery. So stay tuned for more episodes on that. Studies on drinkers who stay sober versus relapsers have found that when presented with an alcohol cue, the ones who stay sober have increased brain reactivity to the cue in the higher order thinking areas of the brain. Not like increased activity in the reward system. They recruit more areas of the brain to process and manage the cue. If you listen to Sober Powered Skills, then your skill episode this week is 3 skills to practice to improve your resilience. If you don't listen, then it's only $5 for 4 bonus episodes a month, and you can grab it at soberpowered.com/skills. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you in the next one.
Hey, it's Erin.
And I'm Michaela, and we're the hosts of the Two Sober Girls podcast, and we are on a mission to spill the wild truth about sobriety.
Forget the rosé all day cliche. Sobriety is flipping amazing.
Absolutely. It's not just about quitting the drink. It's a gift you give yourself and your loved ones.
So what are you waiting for? Break up with that old toxic relationship with alcohol and let us show you the possibilities.
And here's the thing. Everything your precious heart desires becomes way easier without the influence of alcohol.
We're not just two sober girls. We're also wellness coaches. We're here to show you how to optimize health, lifestyle, and beauty, feel sexy and alive as F.
So stay tuned because we're rolling out new episodes every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. And trust us, they have your name written all over them. We can't wait to share the magic of sobriety and wellness with you. Subscribe to Two Sober Girls podcast today and come follow us on Instagram for behind the scenes action and send us a DM. We can't wait to meet you.